The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is you do at 11, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that do, and that you have decided to do the do with me. Right out of the gate, I want to say hello to my two favorite insurance ladies, right? Miss Pinder, Miss Bodie. See y'all over there. If you go over to the place where they is, right? See, they treat me so nice. I have to make sure I do this. When you go over to BAF, and of course, please, if they're in there, then you go see my next favorite place in Big O, right? Over at BAF, you tell them, Levin sent you. See, because there's power in the name of Levin, you know. Once you get over there, if you call my name, I guarantee you they'll take great care of you over there. So good morning, ladies. I had a wonderful occasion of running into them on my way over to the studio, and, you know, they're always so excited to see me, and they make me excited to see them, yeah? That aside, did your heart not melt? I mean, there are people that live among us that we know must come to an end at some point, because we know all of mankind is mortal and that mortality has the constraints of finite being as a part of its characteristics, right? But you kind of think to yourself that there are some people that will just never fade. You only remember them for the great philosophical underpinnings that they had, or you remember the great works that they've done. You remember all of their life's worth. You know the thing that they have aspired towards all of the time that you have known their lives, right? And you know that Father Time never stops. And so you know that if you, because I almost 40, right? If I almost 40, I know he had to be 40 squared at the very minimum. But you say to yourself, there must be more time, right? There must be more time left. There's just no way a man with the mental acumen, with the astute capabilities, with the mathematical understanding of a Charles W. Sanders could ever come to an end. I was on air on Friday, and I had no idea that my childhood mentor and principal, the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders, had passed on. And when I got off air and I had learned of his passing, I was taken aback for whatever it was worth, right? For a long time in my adult life, at least the first 10 years, I made a good time passing, mimicking the acts of the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders, right? I understood that every time I went to a church and that there was a hymn raised, that we would have to sing it lustfully as unto the Lord, right? Because that was the only way to get it done. And if you've ever attended any one of the institutions with which he had carriage of, you know that there was a standard that was taught. There was no acceptance to anything except for that standard. And to go contrary to that standard may end in your life being taken by caning, right? He was exactly that, a firm hand, regardless of age. And I tell people the thing that fascinates me is when I consider the fact that I ran into Charles Sanders in 1998, yeah? He would have been about 70 at the time. There was never a time in my mind, though, did I consider that man a 70-year-old. He had razor-sharp focus, the work ethic of barn horses, and literally the man could go for hours and hours and days and days. And at the time, he was running the Baptist Convention, running the missionary board, also, I think, doing some things in Exuma. And you wonder to yourself, well, where does this man even find the time? Principals of two schools at the time. And he was an aura. When Charles Sanders walked out of the gray Oldsmobile, always fully clad in a coat suit, right? I don't know what Reverend Sanders cuts the grass in, because I don't think the man owns a pair of slippers, right? Every time you see him, shoes, I mean, magnificently polished, suit, completely tailored. And sometimes, you know, he would always say, every now and again, I put the collar on to remind myself that I am bound to the collar, right? But other than that, he would have on a necktie, right? So whenever the parents would call his phone and run on with ruckus, he'd say, I put my collar on today to remind myself that I's a man of the cloth, because other than that, y'all could cost me. And so when I learned of it Friday, instantly I wanted to do something. So I'm telling you now, on today, I'm talking to actually one of the first females I met when I went to Prince William, right? She had the privilege of being my head girl. Can you believe that? She's in studio with me. And then on Thursday, I want to do a show with male students of Charles W. Sanders. So if you are a male student of Charles Sanders, please, and you went to Jordan Prince William, sorry, C.W. Sanders, y'all ain't have no alumni who on radio, right? Like, if you're, like, you know, don't kill me. But if you've been to Prince William and you are a male student, I definitely want to have at least two of you in here with me on Thursday. And then Friday, I'm trying to see if I can get two of his religious mentees, because the man was so diverse. He has touched people's lives in more than one sector. So whether you are a theologian or an educator, whether you are just a clergyman, or whether you are somebody that is just a religious enthusiast or a mathematical enthusiast, right? Because there is one other thing I can never forget. What is an isosceles triangle? When he asked the question, it would run shivers down your spine if you didn't know, because you knew. Caning abound. Caning abound. And it would always be followed by this, that do you know what it is your parents pay for you to come to this institution of learning? The Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders. So I'm going to get into the show, but before I start, there is a hymn. The minute he died, this hymn, I can see it now. It would be a Monday morning assembly. Mr. Smith or Reverend Smith, whichever one had the opportunity to play the piano that morning, would be in the little piano room playing the piano. Rev would walk over from his office and say, I want us to sing the hymn, Trust and Obey. And I heard that singing on the way over here. We won't sing it that way this time. This time, we will sing it as unto the Lord, right? And so that came to my mind. There was also the other one that came to my mind when I heard of his passing. And instantly, I said to myself, I said, I have to actually play this one, right? The other one that I always recall, the Lord is my shepherd. That is the one. We will sing, the Lord is my shepherd. And even the students in the reception will sing, let them stand. So Allenton, let's start with the Lord is my shepherd. I introduce my guest and then we continue to talk about, the phone lines will be open, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on any one of those. You can text me, 422-4796. I'm paying tribute to my childhood mentor, the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders. The Lord is my shepherd. you would hear him say, "We sang it as unto the Lord. You may be seated." Yeah. And then you would know that finally Rev was pleased. You'd probably sing it like 9 times, right? Right? Sing it again. "The Lord is my share." And he would tell the piano, the whoever was playing on the keyboard, "We in the chord of E." Yeah. So anyway, Reba Green is here with me. Is it still Reba Green?
It's still Reba Green. It's Indira Reba Green now.
Indira Reba Green.
Yes.
Indira Reba Green. But hold on now. So, okay. Are you like the artist formerly known as Prince?
Not quite.
How is
but
it?
But I use both.
Okay. Because yes. All my life, I've just known it to be Reba Green.
Yes.
She's my head girl, y'all. Like my first year, I came out of primary school. I came from Carlton Francis. Mm-hmm. Right? I was the only one out of the whole herd of us because... one of the superpowers I had in primary school was I always had like 20 cousins in school.
Right.
In the same school at all times. We was a walking, talking, moving
yes,
mafia.
Yes.
Right. And then my mommy decided that she's an alumni of the Jordan Prince William Institution. And she said, "Oh, do you want to go to Prince William?" I said, "Fine." So I took the entrance exam. I passed. I went to Prince William. And so there was just two of us there. But I had a cousin. He was like ahead of me, Livingston Bevins, now Sergeant of Police, actually. And one of my first introductions to Prince William was Reba Green,
yes,
who happened to be my head girl, and Patrulie McPhee was it?
Yes, she's
that was
in
my
class group.
Prefect. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so yes. That's been some time ago, right? 1998,
yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
But you've had an opportunity to sit under the tutelage of Reverend Saunders. When I met him again, a 70-year-old man, you knew him a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you? Like, what was it like running into Charles Saunders, coming from your primary school and meeting the person that we know to be Dr. Saunders?
Well, I think you gave quite an eloquent introductory salvo on him
yeah.
because he commanded a fearful level of respect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there was always the consideration to be poised
mm-hmm.
whenever he was around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was always in the mind.
Yeah.
Make sure you stand up straight because he's going to see something. He's going to point something out.
Yeah. And I recall, I don't know if this was a thing during the time that you were in school, but Rev would stand at what is now the art block, right? He'd
mm-hmm.
stand at the end
yes,
of the art block.
With the cane.
Which was the longest straight block in the school compound.
Yes.
And there would be 1,000 children just running around and he would say, "You there." And the entire corridor came to a standstill.
Yes, because didn't know.
No one wanted to be, right, the person he met.
Right.
And it was mildly terrifying, now
yes.
that I think about it. But like, how did that, because I think you all went from Bishop Hall to, I think, Reverend Saunders.
I think that's how it happened, but by the time I got there, Reverend Saunders was there.
At full command.
Yes.
Yeah. What was his interaction with the students at the time? Because when I came, he was a little busier. He was definitely busy trying to do the transition with the Missionary Baptist Convention, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I remember his relationship with Dr. Grace Cobbs and those.
Yes.
They would come down every summer.
Yes.
And so he was really occupied.
Yes.
Did you have him in any teaching capacities?
We did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he, like you said, he loved mathematics. He also loved religious knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times when he would be the substitute teacher. And
right.
I remember specifically when I was in third form,
yeah.
our RE teacher was out for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to class to teach us religious knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you could imagine the fear that
yeah.
hovered over everyone in the class.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, when he teaches you something, you will never forget.
We will never forget it.
Because he asks the question and we're all looking around wondering, what do we say?
It's
what do we
his
answer?
Voice etches the answer into your soul.
Yes.
That's what happens,
yes.
right? And you're so afraid of getting it wrong.
Like, right.
We had hard math teachers. Like, we had the Miss Hortons, Miss Ricketts, like
mm-hmm.
very hard
yes.
math teachers. And even though they were sticklers in mathematics, nowhere near to
no.
Charles W. Zion.
Not
like,
at all.
Like, when you found out you developed your prayer life, because you were praying your math teacher was healthy enough to come to school every day. That's where my prayer life was developed, right? I really just couldn't deal with Dr. Saunders.
Yes.
He would come in the room. There would be no introduction. It would be simply, "What is you? What is an isosceles triangle?"
Yes.
And literally, like cold sweats run down your spine. Because you say, I know this answer. I just don't know if I know it well enough to tell
right.
it to Rev.
Yes.
And He walked with the cane. Yes. Every single way he went. It was a part of his uniform. Mm-hmm. Must be out of
it. It was.
And he jumped out. He would jump out of the car. He would jump out of the car. Some days he would go to his office. Some days he would just stand there and stare, right, across the campus.
And you don't know what he's staring at.
Right. And he would just be staring there. And then he would, like, disappear. And you'd be like, where did Rev go?
Yes.
And then out from the bushes, unbeknownst to you,
he pops
Reverend Sanders, yes. right? And so yes. That was an interesting time for, again, people like us that went to school in the 90s. Of course, you mm-hmm. came out in 98.
Yes.
I never left until 2004. Okay. Three. I'm not that young yet.
Okay.
But how was it running into the younger Reverend Sanders? I mean, because, mm-hmm. I mean, if I met him as old as he was, did he at any point, did you at any point even realize that this wasn't a very young man?
No. No, you didn't. You did not. You knew he was mature, mm-hmm. but you didn't know how old he was mm-hmm. because the energy that he carried. And again, juggling so many hats, mm-hmm. president of the missionary convention, mm-hmm. juggling two schools. Yeah. I think Baptist Summerfest was still going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would have the association with the Baptists in Detroit, Michigan, mm-hmm. Dr. Grace Cobbs, like you said, mm-hmm. and all of those persons. So you never thought of him as old,
right?
Because he had so many things going on.
Yeah, and he was such a commanding posture, a very little man. He wasn't very big, right?
He was
kind of little. Again, always completely dressed in a. Every time I've seen Reverend Sanders, he's either had on a full suit and tie or mm-hmm. a robe. I've never seen. I don't know if the man owned a T-shirt. Like, I wonder what does he wear on family cruises, right?
Yes,
like,
it's the same.
He has on perfectly polished shoes, and he is in principal mode no matter where you... You also never saw him anywhere other than school...
Or church.
Church, or, like, convention auditorium. Yes. No, I've never seen the man in traffic anywhere, right? And I think that was a part of the whole ambience.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Charles W.
Yes.
Sanders.
Yes.
And I will say this. I think Rev also taught you things that you didn't even realize you learned until you had learned it. Like, my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures, right,
mm-hmm.
is the bridle for the horse. What is it? The bridle for the horse, the stick for the ass, but the rod. But the rod
yes.
was made for the back of the fool,
yes.
right? And every, that used to be his favorite go-to, right?
Of
like,
course.
I'll never forget Marcus Moxie and I. And Marcus in charge of bank. I don't know. He's Marcus in charge of a bank now, right? But Marcus Moxie, very mischievous when we were in school. We had this whole thing. We had to do this project for English. And our project was we had to start a nightclub, right? Marcus Moxie decides that he's going to bring a Jay-Z album as our promo for our nightclub, right? And that didn't turn out well, right?
No.
So Miss Beaton sends us to Reverend Sanders, and Rev knows my grandfather because they are clergymen, right?
Right.
And so he said, well, why are you here? And I said, well, Rev, you know, like Paul said, you know, every time I try to do good, evil is just always present.
Oh, my God.
He says, you know something? I'm very happy you chose scripture because I have a scripture I also like. The rod is made for the back of a fool. Get out of this office.
Yeah.
Right? And it is, it is interesting that today, right, a lot of people would say, well, they sound like they're celebrating abuse. No, like it
no,
wasn't abusive.
It was,
I don't know what it was. It was an inculcation.
Yes.
If anything else.
Yes.
It was, Reverend Sanders is like a walking, talking doctrine.
Yes.
You meet the man, he changes your life.
Yes.
Then you leave and you go become a little child Sanders. That's
yes.
what you do, right?
Yes.
And you look through all throughout the working sphere of the Bahamas, right? Like we discussed mm-hmm. before we got on air. Almost every facet of this society you look in, there are students from Jordan, Prince William.
Yes.
And they are very functional.
Yes.
I mean, standard worthy human beings in the society, right?
Yes.
They don't follow cookie cutter modules like some of the other schools, you know, the ones that I called off air that I won't call now.
No, don't do that.
But they find themselves slipping into the places where I imagine the society needs the most.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing a lot of them take with them is the underpinning of a Jazz W song.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I like the story you told because I know a similar story when I was in fifth form too. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time the uniform for prefects had just changed.
Okay.
So we started wearing the gray on gray with the burgundy.
Yeah.
But we were still wearing white socks.
Mm.
And so we got together and we decided we're going to petition Reverend Saunders to have us change the uniform.
The socks to burgundy.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, we know how Dr. Saunders goes. So we prepared for a couple of weeks. We got letters. We got everybody to sign. We asked some teachers who would support us. Mm-hmm. And we made the appointment to go into his office. Mm-hmm. And we went into his office. Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have our spiel ready. Well, sir, we think that in light of the changes to our uniform for the prefects, we would like our socks to be changed to reflect this. We have signatures here for you to see. We laid the folder on his desk. Mm-hmm. He opened it. He said, "You children are too vain. Get out of my office."
Yeah,
and that was the end of that.
And you know, and if you know him, right? He always told the story of being, I think, the youngest of seven, right?
Yes.
I grew up in Exuma.
Right.
I was the youngest of seven.
Right.
I had never had brand new trousers.
Mm-hmm.
My parents never bought me a brand new blouse. Yet, you all come here. Brand new shiny trousers, and your fees aren't paid.
Right.
When I call your name, feel free to leave this school.
Yes. And don't let him know you personally.
Oh, yeah.
When he sees you in the hall, he will call your name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he did that. Like, it was, or he always associated you with your parents, right?
Yes.
Like, aren't you Bishop Miller's grandson? Yes, yes, I am, Reverend Saunders. Well, you ought to know. Go to the office.
Yes.
I said, well, what did I do again? I didn't do anything. I was just standing here.
Right.
I was doing exactly what all the other children was doing. I don't understand. Why am I being pointed out? But it's kind of cool. So tell me this. What about as you move throughout your professional life, right? Like, you know, he always said this thing, when you leave Jordan, you will be ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Or Charles W. Saunders will be dead.
Yes.
And he meant that. Like he did. Like he literally meant that. So we would go to things like BAISS, and you could guarantee it wasn't the principal children that was fighting. Never, ever.
No, because he did not want that report to come back to him about any sort of disruption with Princeville children.
Yeah, never ever. Yeah. So he would literally, like nowadays I see children walk into school, they got their shirt out their pants, and Charles Saunders would drive the route to school around South Beach.
Yes.
And literally, if you were improperly dressed, you would just get the stare of death.
Yes.
And when he gave that to you, you knew.
You knew what that meant.
you knew that as you proceeded towards the gate of Princeville, it ain't no sense to fix it now. Don't fix it, mm-mm, right? He didn't see you. Jesus didn't see you, right? And he would stand at the gate with the cane and say, "Do you know which school you attend? You attend Jordan.
That's right.
Go to the office."
Mm-hmm.
And you'd say to yourself, like, but it was 50 and us was walking. Like, how did he remember it was me? Nope. Office. And I guarantee you, he would not faint. He would not tire. Reverend Saunders was capable enough to put a cane in on the whole 12th grade.
Yes.
I ain't talking about 5P1 or 5P2.
Right. The whole grade level.
He said, "Why is there so much noise in this block? Yes. Aren't you my seniors?
Yes.
Go to the office."
Yes.
All us, Rabbi. Yes. I was just sitting here playing checkers in the corner by myself. I wasn't even with these fellas.
Yes.
Office, 94 us, just. And he had a little bench. He had a little footstool he would put his foot up on to get comfortable. That is the only time I've ever seen him without his jacket, actually. He'd take his jacket off, put his foot up on the bench, and tell, what was the name of the, is it Miss Mortimer? What was the name of it? Miss Strawn. Send them in 5x5.
Yes.
And there'd be this long line going down.
I think it was a rite of passage for like a whole class or a whole grade level to get sent to
the
office.
Yeah, the whole class. I mean, 5-1, 5-2, mm-hmm, W-1, 5-H-2, everybody go to see Reverend Saunders. And he would say, why are you all here?
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing to do is pretend like you don't know.
Right.
So don't say something silly like, "Miss Johnson sent us here, and she never told you all why." Well, it doesn't matter why anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and this would just turn into, because I guess that was his way of saying, I give y'all a chance to make a case.
Exactly.
Y'all chose. So nobody know why this whole class, no problem. Y'all ain't need to know. Mm-hmm. I I can figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, this Kanan would just, this would be something amazing. Let's go to a break, though, Ali. Take me to the break. I got another hymn. I playing hymns today. Because if you know Charles of W. Course. Sanders, you know that he is aptly associated with hymns, right? And so I want to go, let's go on Trust and Obey. That's the other one. Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Grand Bahama, it's time to read all about it once again. As the Nassau Guardian starts a weekly Grand Bahama news supplement each and every Tuesday starting February 8th. Learn more about advertising opportunities in the Grand Bahama news supplement by calling Barefoot Marketing at 727-9515 or 827-4578. Grand Bahama, make sure you get your Nassau Guardian daily and grab your Grand Bahama news supplement each Tuesday to keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Jesus makes us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your spark on earth and I in mine. Jesus makes us shine, first of all, for Him. When He sees and knows it, if our light is dim, He looks down from heaven to see us shine, you in your spark on earth and I in mine. Jesus makes us shine when for all around many kinds of darkness in this world abound. Sin and want and sorrow, so we must shine,
you in your small corner and I in mine. If you're just tuning in, it's Leaving Miller. We're here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on the radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. I'm joined in studio with Reba Green, my actual first head girl. Can you believe it? And we're talking about the life, the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders. Principal, man, it could be like principal forever. principal forever.
Emeritus,
yeah,
of the
Jordan Prince William Baptist High School. I remember he said one time, he said, "You know something? I do not know why the Baptist Missionary Board opted to put my name on that other school, but as far as I am concerned,
this
is my school. I will forever belong to Jordan." Yeah.
Yes.
And I it's just delightful to have Charles on this. I see we got a couple of phone calls. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. Again, I'm doing it today, Thursday and Friday. So, you know, let Pookie them finish doing what they doing and the politicians do whatever they doing. I'm paying homage and tribute to my childhood mentor, the Reverend Charles W. Saunders. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Yes. So, child, what a time. What a time. Such a sad loss. And I want to also give my condolences to his family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a student, a former student, I guess I can say, from 1985 graduate.
85?
So okay. You're a baby to me.
Yeah,
yes.
You're very right. In 1985, I was busy borning.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I can say my fond recollections of Dr. Charles Saunders I sang in the choir. So
mm-hmm.
He always was happy when I sang also at the assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
I too struggled with math and arithmetic as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to you earlier, and there was a time I remembered when I failed my math BJC.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he came into the classroom, well, I was happy that I was always in the peace dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, those students who failed the arithmetic and the math test, say, y'all come this way, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he took us under his wings, and he taught us. And when the next year came about and we were supposed to do the math and arithmetic exam, I was 1 hour late for a 2-hour exam.
Mm.
I passed that math BJC with a B grade.
Wow.
So he was an intellectual giant.
Yeah.
He spoke, I think, 5 or 6 different languages.
He said
languages.
That. Yeah, I think it's 3 or 4
know,
languages.
I don't know. There was a subject that he could not teach.
Yeah.
So he would be very, very well remembered. I mean, he touched persons' lives in such a monumental way. And it's true what you said. I have, you know, been around. Like you say, you were born in when I mm. graduated. Mm. And over the years, I've worked in government for a time period, too.
Mm.
And I have met persons who worked in government who came from Prince William,
oh, yes.
and like you said.
And you know them as soon as you see them.
As soon as you see them,
you know, you can
like
believe me.
Discipline,
yeah.
You know, we still have that, that's etched in our character.
Yeah.
You know, he really rubbed off on his pupils well.
I will say this, you talked about his languages. One of the other things I recall he would always say is, I have accomplished many things in this life. I know how to speak 3 different languages. One is a discontinued language. It is actually me who wrote the school motto, Lux Orbis
Jesus
S. Jesus is the light of the world. That was Reverend Charles W. Saunders. Yeah.
You talk so much like him.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I was mesmerized by the man. It was amazing.
Yeah, you practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he will be sorely, sorely missed, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I anticipate, you know, students past and present, all those who came under his tutelage will, you know, be out there to the.
We should just have it on Clifford Park. It's a good thing he did in the winter, so it ain't hot. Don't worry about trying to put it in the church. Just let's go to Clifford Park. As a matter of fact, I'm petitioning the government now that y'all could y'all lower the flags them around here for 3 weeks for Sydney Poitier. Let's see
if
we can do it for 1 more week for Charles Saunders.
That's
right
now. Hey, I'm with you. 100%.
Listen, leave me in charge of good ideas.
He's a national hero.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
by all measurements.
A valuable contribution to the society.
Yeah, yes. By all measurements. And for him to have even built an edifice like Salem in the location that it is. I mean, the thing sits on 2 street corners, right? Not very many people could say that. That in itself is an accomplishment.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, yes. Okay, you
I
do
appreciate
well.
You.
Thank you.
All right. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Did you guys also call him the General of the Dirty Dozen?
No.
So the whole spiel about his education, right? Like he'd say, I've written mathematics at the highest level.
Yes, I've heard that.
I speak four languages, and one is discontinued.
Yes.
It is Latin. Mm-hmm. It was actually me who wrote the school's motto.
Yes.
Lux orbis Jesus est. Yes. Jesus is the light of the world. There is one thing I find great challenge with, though. When it comes to caning, I can't count in less than 12.
Yes.
And so if you come to my office, it is 12 or 24 or 36. And if it's more than that, you're leaving the school. And I said, what do you mean you can't count in less than 12, Rev? I don't know. I mean, didn't you just say you practice mathematics at the highest levels? Yeah, he struggled with counting in less than 12. Mm-hmm. So that was...
With the cane.
Yeah, that was that was something. Let's take it out of foregone. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Lehman. How are you?
I'm good.
That's excellent. I remember Charles W. Sanders as a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We used to go to crusades where he was preaching, okay? There was only standing room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I went to a school where which he taught because we couldn't afford it. I came from a home of 18 children, and we just couldn't afford the private tuition. But wherever we hear him, wherever he was preaching,
mm-hmm.
okay, we are Baptists. Mm-hmm. We at the Eastern Shirley Street Church, but where Dr. Sanders came from, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there was a crusade or a revival at Salem, we just had to be there because the man just had the word at perfect command.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it is like, you know, and you if you wanted Jesus, well, when he finished preaching, you would want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go to that altar, you know, and there was no fear. There was comfort. There was trust,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you were bound that this man, you know, if he didn't know Jesus, well, I don't know who else know him, you know,
but
he was excellent, excellent, my brother, and national service, and in which I think that he was supported. That's the man that would have put value to that.
Yeah,
you know, because he was a great teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have lost one of our finest sons.
Yeah,
you know, at Independence on that park with Ari Cooper, and Ari Cooper told the country of his possessions and stuff like that. Reverend Sanders was standing right there like a pillar on the side of him.
Mm.
So therefore, we knew it was true.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for letting me
share. I appreciate you, caller. Listen, you know what else is actually something that was always interesting to me? Reverend Sanders did, I think they call it in theology, the eisegesis of
I was just about to say that.
The eisegesis of a message.
He had just such a healthy balance, I think, of giving an exegesis of a text, knowing the historical reference
and
how to bring it in contemporary life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he had that fire and that passion to deliver it. For, you know, persons who grow up Baptist.
Right, you know how we get. Yeah, that was definitely a superpower of his. He would be able to not just give you his topic and his text. He would be able to tell you where's the contextual reference of, and why would Jesus be saying this, and where exactly Jesus was standing, and sometimes the temperature of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been in the middle of the summer. It would have been a hot 98. Jesus is standing. And I said, I mean, Rev Massey was there.
Exactly.
So I actually have a clip. I have a small clip of a sermon, of the introduction of a sermon that he did. I think it's one of his last sermons.
Okay.
That I want you all to hear. So cue the clip for me, Ali.
But I like to, for people to understand the background of the day. The day is between 1300 BC and 1200 BC. The place is the east side of Jordan.
And so that is typically how all his messages would start, right? Like he'd be able to tell you, Jesus rode down the street. It was on the back of a mule. We knew it was a mule and not a horse because the geographical location was not conducive for horse rearing.
Right.
And you say to yourself, how could you possibly know all of this? Mm-hmm. It's impossible to know, right? And so, I mean, I'm very happy, honored actually, to have had the opportunity to sit under such astute tutelage. It is. An immeasurable experience that I couldn't even put it in words. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. This one here says, hi, Levin, love your show. Welcome to your guest.
Reverend Sanders, it's very sad to me to see him go. All of my kids went to that school. Levin, there is no more like him. He's the best principal ever. May his soul rest in peace. This one here says, good show. Love men and era. I love men in the era of Charles Sanders. May his soul rest in peace. He reminds me of my uncle Leviticus Lou Adley, former Stella principal of SAC. And remember Vince Ferguson of Aquinas when GHS was the government private school. These are the kind of men we still need today. Has the mold been broken? And where are the men of discipline, law, and order? Who's going to fill those shoes, Brother Miller? I don't know, but I will tell you one thing. They are very, very nice, polished shoes. He always wore very nice shoes. That is also a signature mark of Reverend Sanders. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Let's take the call, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on. I can't hear him. Caller, you there? Give me a call back. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. So you went in. Okay, so when I was in school, there was the collaboration of Charles W. Sanders, right? Reverend H. Oral Brown.
Yes.
And then added to that became Reverend Higgs, the disciplinarian, right? He wouldn't have been there when you guys
no.
were. I think he came in 2000.
He came after. Yes.
And then I think for the shortest while, there was another reverend that kind of just flowed through but didn't stay. And then we had Miss Cox.
Okay.
Short Miss Cox. Mm-hmm. And then Miss Flowers, who had been there for like 1,000 years.
Yes.
And then Miss Adderley, who had been there for like 2,000 years.
Rest in peace.
Right. She's deceased now. But Miss Adderley was actually still in teaching.
Yeah.
But she was always one of the senior teachers at the school.
Yes.
Right. She'd been there. She was, you know, Jesus graduated and then Miss Adderley started teaching.
Yes.
That's how long it had been, right? And so like that collaboration of teachers, all very firm. I remember, like, so Reverend Brown would be like the enforcer, right? So he was like the buffer. He was like the buffer before you go. Because if you had to go to Reverend Brown, that was bad.
Right.
If you Reverend wished. Brown sent you to Reverend Sanders.
Yes, that was very bad.
Man, you prayed for the rapture to come.
Yes. You wish that it would just stop at Reverend Brown.
Yeah, yeah. If you had to go to Reverend Sanders, you just like, you instantly break out in like palpitations and your sweat glands all become activated. Because literally, you know, there was no Ben. There was no Ben. I went to Reverend Sanders' office one time. My mom hadn't bought my English book, right?
Okay.
And I said to him, I said, well, Rev, I'm only a student. I'm a full-time student. I don't buy books. My mommy said, payday is on the month end. She's going to get the book then.
Right.
He said, my mother's name is actually Elsa, but he always called her Elsie.
Okay.
And so he'd say, Elsie knew better than to send you to Jordan without your book. She bought you this shirt, didn't she? Tell her, go get it, all right? Let's take another phone call. Good morning, Collie, you're on. Collie, you there? Are they having problems? Are you calling me from a cell phone? Because if you're calling me from a cell phone, you can tell my producer that I'll come to the line quicker. Because, you know, I'm just having, like, fawning moments with Charles W. Sanders. Reba Green is joining me in studio. Is it Indira Reba Green now? Were you in the year with the other Indira? Was it Frasier?
No, the other Indira in my year was Indira Umbrista.
No. There was the little preaching one, the short one.
Indira Umbrista.
Where did I get Frasier from? I thought it was Frasier. Okay. I remember there was two. That's why I don't know you as Indira. I know you as Reba. She was Indira. She was like the popular one. She was the little firebrand preacher.
She was the firebrand preacher.
Yeah, full-breed firebrand preacher at the time. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? I think I can hear it. Good morning, caller.
Yes, I'm calling from a cell phone. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're on.
I'm actually calling from North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Hi.
Yes, and I think I called you one time, Levan, when you were talking about Prince William one time ago.
Okay.
And I want to say also condolences to Dr. Sanders. I mean, and he was such, I don't know, a man. I guess a man. You still can speak to him, but he was just that disciplinarian, you know, and me being who I am today, all of my 5 years, I'm from 1988, so I'm 50 last year, so I'm from the 1988 era, so all those graduates of 1988, hello to you guys out there.
Right.
But I wanted to say, when I was a nurse, because right now I'm a professor at North Carolina Central.
Okay.
And I teach in the counseling department. But when I was a nurse, and I was a nurse before too as well.
Okay.
being on the ward, I remember one time him coming on the ward, and this was like, I think I was doing private duty nursing one time. And he came on the ward, and automatically he said to me, Prince William. And I said, yes, sir. That's all he said, Prince William. And I said, yes, sir.
Yeah, he
and
remembered.
It was like, it was so awesome for him to, I mean, I saw he would have seen so many students. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't know my name like that because mm-hmm. I never person in trouble. I mean, I know Levon sound like you one who always in the office.
Group, like group beatings, though. I only got like group beatings.
I never got beaten from I got beaten from Reverend Davis before.
Yeah.
For some reason, because I was with other people inside the bathroom, playing around in the bathroom. But I never got spanking from Reverend Sanders, and he thought it's our case.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting for him to come on the ward and just say Prince William.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was like, and I think it was a time when somebody was, like, you know, passing away, and, you know, he was like, really? He said, I'm so proud of you. Blah, blah, blah. And he asked me my name and all of that. So that was just special in itself to know that he remembered your face.
Yes.
He might not remember your name, but he remembered my face.
Yes.
And all of my, I have my aunt who works in to water and sewer. She went to Prince William. I had my sister who was one of the supervisors at the airport authority. She went to Prince William. So a lot of us went to Prince William. Mm. And I'm so honored that my mom decided to send me that way because I was at St. John's.
Yeah. No, we fixed that for you. We fixed that for you and call you over to Prince William. It was a higher calling. I appreciate you, caller. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
All right. This here says, tell Levon I'm listening to him. Oh, this is a text from a text. Tell Levon I'm listening to him in Exuma. I graduated in the class of 74. This is Evelyn Monroe. Hello, Evelyn Monroe. This here says, Levon, I remember the annual Baptist convention on ZNS. He would go off on Pinling and spiritual message. I asked my mother why she told me Pinling bypass him on a Ministry of Education big position for somebody else. May he rest in peace. What he was, though, was a posture of prominence, right? Like, so he didn't care who you was.
Right. He would tell you.
When you come in Salem,
mm-hmm.
oh, you in Salem, mm-hmm. you could be the Queen of Spain. When you walk in Salem Union Baptist, mm-hmm. there was one person in charge mm-hmm. there. That was Charles W. Sanders. Mm-hmm. Great show as usual. I still think Reverend Brown was worse when it came to punishment. Bear in mind, I was never punished by Reverend Sanders, but it can be worse than Reverend Brown. No, see, Reverend Brown was the enforcer. So Reverend Brown was the guy that you always got to see. So it was go see Reverend Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Reverend Brown sent you to Reverend Sanders, oh yeah, this mm-hmm. real now.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's take one more call. Caller, you got about 30 seconds. What's up? Caller, you there? Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, brother. Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Listen, man, you just make my day from 11 to 12, right? But I hear you talk about Reverend Charles Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss the time, and every time you talk with him, you just kill my brother. But what I'm saying, right, I ain't never been to Princeville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never hear him preach.
Mm-hmm.
That little clip with you do this now, I had to call him.
Mm.
You can't do a sermon on Thursday or Friday, like you say you come in and, you know.
We'll see. I'll see what, we'll see what I come up with.
I need to hear that preaching.
All right, no problem. I'll work on that for you. All right,
do you have a CD with him during preaching?
Salem. Salem should have a wonderful catalog.
Salem 8.
Yeah.
I got to get one now.
All right.
I got to get one CD or two from him.
Appreciate it.
I'm out and I enjoy it every day.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
yeah, and so he would also make us come out and sing the school song, Prince William, hi, Prince William, hi, we shall be true to thee.
And hold the light
yes.
of truth and right.
And he would talk all us through it, and hold the light.
Yes.
And make us sing the entire song
yes.
because he said, you are all not singing it like you are from Prince William.
Yes.
Ah, boy, anyway, Reba, we are out of time. It was so delightful to have
yes.
you.
Yes. I appreciate it.
And again, to my childhood mentor, the Reverend Dr. Charles W. Sanders, you know, I know you, if heaven is real, I'm sure you are there, right? Because you mm-hmm. are a man who devoted your life and worked to the entire thing, right? And I couldn't imagine having gone to another high school. I couldn't have
Me
imagined.
Either.
Yeah, I inherited yeah. Eugene Barnaby. That just wasn't the same.
Right.
That wasn't the same. Anyway, that's the music, so that means that's my time. I'm Levon Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. That's next.